everyone. Welcome back to my podcast called My Comfort Show, Gilmore Girls Tea and Inspired Recipes, where each week I chat about the TV show Gilmore Girls and I cook recipes that were inspired by each episode. I guess now it's not really each week. I think realistically it will be something like every other week, but we'll see how it goes. And yeah, and if you're new here, my name is Mia, and this is our 10th episode together, but no problem if this is the first episode that you happen to be listening to. I was actually just recording about half an hour of this episode, and I was using an app called Podcastle, and it lost all of my recording, not all the previous episodes recording, but just the 30 minutes that I had been recording for. And so I guess I'll try to see it as that was practice, and this time around it's going to be a little more succinct, maybe a bit more better worded. But we'll see how it goes, and I hope that never happens again. I'm never using that app again. All right, so I actually, speaking of this new episode, I wanted to announce that this episode is going to be in a bit of a different style than usual, and what I mean is that I am going to try to give a shorter summary of what happened in the episode, just so that we can leave time for more fun stuff at the end, where I'm actually going to announce two new special segments of the podcast. I hope to keep those two new segments ongoing for each episode, so it's not, you know, it's not just something that you're only going to hear about today. But yeah, I hope to continue them if you are giving me good feedback on it. And so definitely stay tuned until later in the episode when I will be able to announce those. And then let me think. So yeah, I mean, in terms of why I decided to switch up the style a little bit, it's just, for me personally, I felt like I was spending a lot of time going over scene by scene what happens in the episode and not giving myself enough time to just talk about my own thoughts and my own opinions and what I liked about everything and what I didn't like. So I hope that the new segments I'm going to introduce will allow for more flexibility and just make it more fun to listen to as well, because I'm sure a lot of you all, if you're listening to this, then you're probably a fan of Gilmore Girls and you've probably watched each episode multiple times and you probably know the plot like the back of your hand at this point. So there's no real reason for me to go through it scene by scene or glance by glance, line by line, any of that. So I'm going to keep it shorter. So then why don't we just jump right into it? Of course, this episode we're going to be talking about season 1, episode 10. It's called Forgiveness and Stuff, and it aired on December 21st, 2000 on the WB. Of course, this episode is a winter-themed episode. We're right around Christmas time, and I think one thing that has been a bit of a surprise for me just watching this season for the first time is just the fact that there doesn't seem to be a huge emphasis on holidays, and it's not like we get a Christmas episode or a Thanksgiving episode or a Halloween episode. It definitely feels like these holidays are just running along in the background of the actual plot, and they are not the central focus of what's going on. And I feel sort of like maybe that's a missed opportunity, and I hope they do introduce more holiday-centric episodes in future seasons, because even in real life, when it's the holiday season, whether that's Thanksgiving or around Christmas, Hanukkah, or New Year's, honestly, whatever holidays you celebrate, I think we can all agree that they bring people together, and if you're spending time with friends and family, it feels like you're able to reconnect with people, and just it's very comforting to be around people who you love and who love you. And so I feel like that really fits the theme of this TV show, and I hope they do bring holiday themed episodes eventually. But for this week, it's mostly Christmas is just going on in the background, and we see a little bit of gift giving. We see some Christmas party, Christmas pageant stuff going on, but nothing too central to the plot. And kind of transitioning into the next portion of this podcast. Of course, right now it's autumn, at least in the part of the world where I am. I know I have listeners everywhere now, so for you it might be springtime, but wherever you are, there has been a shift into a new season. And for me, that's autumn, and I have really just been trying to enjoy more autumn-themed food and decorations and things like that. So that is why for my recipe of the week this week, I chose to make a pumpkin apple bread. And specifically, I used a pumpkin puree that I got from Trader Joe's, because I've been, the last time I was at Trader Joe's, it really looked like they just rolled out all of their pumpkin themed things or autumn themed food, and it just all looked so good. And I had to get pumpkin puree, and I promised myself I would make something out of it, and I didn't know what it was going to be at that time, but I also had some apples as well, and I decided to mix the two of them in one thing. So I did some researching online, and I was just talking with one of my friends the other day about how I really like food blogs and just recipe blogs, I guess, as opposed to something like foodnetwork.com. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think just in terms of coming up with recipe ideas for this podcast, a lot of times I have an idea in my head. Like, for example, here I knew I wanted to do something with pumpkin and apple, and so I just search for it, and I find a lot of creative recipes from food bloggers, so I want to give all the credit to them. And a lot of the time I only just adapt the recipe a little bit to either what I have or what I don't have at home, or how sweet I tend to like things. So in this case, I got the pumpkin apple bread recipe from the Yellow Bliss Road blog, and I only changed the recipe a little bit, just swapped out the sugar for honey, because I really like the taste of honey, and on top of that, I didn't add as much honey as the recipe called for in sugar, but it's really up to you. If you want to follow the original recipe, then by all means go ahead. And yeah, I think it turned out so good, really delicious. And I put a video on my Instagram just showing basically me mixing everything up and taking it out of the oven and what it looked like. And if you noticed in the video, I poured the entire can of Trader Joe's pumpkin puree in there. And I did that because the original recipe called for one can of pumpkin puree. And so I went ahead and did that, and only after I had baked the bread, I was just scrolling through the comments on the blog or on the recipe, and someone actually asked, "Well, you say 1 can in the recipe, but how much actually is that if you were to measure it?" And she replied and she said, "That's about 1 cup." And I looked on the can that I had used was actually 2.5 cups. So it turns out I used way more pumpkin puree than I should have. And so for that reason, it didn't come out perfect. It definitely turned out on the mushier side to the point where when I took it out of the oven, I thought it was really underdone because it was really still wet and mushy. So for me personally, I ended up putting it back in the oven for another 10 minutes, and it was a lot better after that. But if you follow the recipe exactly and you only use 1 cup of pumpkin puree, then I would just put it in the oven for 50 minutes, like the original recipe says. So I think even with a slightly mushy dough, it still turned out amazing. I mean, it's really delicious, and the pumpkin makes it really sweet, and with the apple, it's just so delicious and so spicy too. I love the pumpkin pie spice, which if you get a chance to try pumpkin pie spice, it's a blend of cinnamon and nutmeg and a bunch of other things, but it's delicious. So yeah, and I was slightly inspired by the talk of apple tarts in this episode because Emily's Christmas party was going on in this episode, and she apparently makes apple tarts every year, and that's what people keep going back for. So I thought I would want to do something with apple for sure as a kind of nod to the episode, but also with pumpkin because I had pumpkin and it feels very true to this current season that I'm in. So it was just something like a blend of both inspired by the episode, but also inspired by autumn. So if you try that, I would love to know how it turned out. And you can always DM me on Instagram or email me at mycomfortshow@gmail.com, just letting me know what inspired you from this episode, if you decided to take a different route with your recipe, or if you tried the recipe that I recommended from Yellow Bliss Road. Yeah, what however it turned out, I would love to hear from you, so definitely reach out to me. And with that said, why don't we just jump right into the episode and also where we left off last week so we get a little more context of what's going on. So last episode, we saw that Dean and Rory, they stayed way past their curfew after the dance, and they ended up falling asleep, and Lorelai was just really, really upset with Rory about it because it just brought up a lot of fears in her about what could have happened to Rory and just, I guess, following in her own footsteps. And so it brought up a lot of family tension. And I remember actually at the end of last episode, I really felt like it left me hanging because nothing was really resolved or cleared up. So I definitely going into this episode, I was looking for some kind of resolution with that argument between Lorelai and Rory and also between Lorelai and Emily, and just seeing how all of that can just get patched up again. And then going straight into this episode, we see that the town is preparing for the Christmas pageant, and everybody is playing a different role. I know Lorelai is helping with the costumes and things like that, and we noticed that, speaking about the unresolved argument, it still appears to be a bit unresolved, because Lorelai and Rory are barely speaking to each other, and neither are Lorelai and Emily. So there's clearly a lot of work that is left to be done between all these people. And unfortunately, we find out that Lorelai was uninvited to Emily's Christmas party because Emily basically says, "I don't think we're in a good standing with each other right now, and I think it would be best if you didn't come," which is really sad to see. And kind of talking about what I was saying earlier with how much I love holiday episodes of TV shows, I think in some way this episode really felt like it was just deconstructing the holiday episode, or deconstructing the classic holiday TV episode, where we hear about a Christmas party and we, I guess, our expectations are, oh, this Christmas party is going to be the perfect opportunity for all these characters to get together again and reconnect and just patch things up. But they really, just from the get-go, it seems like this is not going to be your traditional holiday Christmas episode, because Lorelai is not even invited to her own family's Christmas party. And so that really threw me off and made me curious to see how things would go. And Rory ends up going to that party on her own, and she brings Emily a gift from both her and Lorelai. And meanwhile, while Rory is at the party, Dean comes by back at home, and he stops by at the window, and Lorelai, of course, is there on her own, and so Lorelai ends up talking with him, and Dean uses that opportunity to explain that they were just reading, and they just fell asleep, and nothing else happened, and it made me really happy to see that Lorelai pretty much immediately believed him, to the point where it made me wonder, actually, whether the idea of, how do I say this? I guess it's more like, it really made it clear to me that whatever Rory and Dean did do or didn't do that night was completely not even the issue. The real issue was the fact that this event of Rory and Dean staying out so late just brought up a lot of old fears and anxieties in Lorelai. So it was more about that, and I think it seemed like deep down Lorelai always trusted Rory and Dean. So that was a really good scene to see between the two of them, and we don't usually see Lorelai and Dean talking to each other. The last time we saw them talking to each other, it was when she was warning him against breaking her heart, or breaking Rory's heart, and that was certainly a memorable part of that previous episode. I think it was in the Kiss and Tell episode when that happened. And then let's see what's next. So also I did want to mention, I liked how Lorelai says that Dean can use the front door next time. They have a front door. And of course that's her way of telling him that she's giving him another chance. And I think by using the front door, it's like she's really just welcoming him into their home, and he doesn't have to be so secretive about it anymore. And then Lorelai, she's I guess she's feeling pretty lonely about not being able to go to Emily's Christmas party, so she ends up going to Luke's, and while she's there, she gets a voicemail from Emily saying that her father is in the hospital, so she just really just starts to get nervous, and Luke actually is kind enough to drive her to the hospital in his truck. And she says that, oh, this is the moment where I should be thinking about how much I cherish the moments I had with my father during childhood, when he would get me Barbie dolls. And then all of a sudden she switches the narrative on us, and she says, but he never did any of those things. He just read the newspaper the whole time. And so we get the sense that she has a complicated just relationship with her father, in that it's very uncomplicated, if that makes sense. Nothing really goes on between them. So when a life-threatening moment like this happens, she has to confront what that relationship meant to her, and I think Luke can see a lot of himself in her in that moment, or at least he can relate to her, because we've been getting some clues here and there about Luke's relationship with his father, and from my understanding, his father was a very prominent figure in Stars Hollow, and Luke transformed his father's shop into Luke's Diner, and we get the sense that his father was never very approving of him, and they had a complex, tense relationship, and his father passed away, so Luke has kind of been through all of this before, and he knows what Lorelai is going through, and I think that explains why Luke was just able to be there for her every step of the way this episode, and I really love seeing that. I think that was actually my favorite aspect of this episode by far, just seeing their friendship, or seeing all the best parts of their friendship with each other, and seeing how Luke is just a really, really good friend, and it's really good to see Lorelai have people like that in her life. And almost, I almost feel like someone like Luke or Suki, they are just too good to be true. So it's always good to see them. And, once they get to the hospital, we see that Emily is yelling at the nurse. She's being very demanding, and she is clearly panicking because she wants to make sure that her husband is okay. And it turns out the nurse is played by Jane Lynch, who you might recognize from Glee, or if you haven't watched Glee. I personally haven't watched Glee myself, but I know she's has a big role in that, or she had a big role in that. And yeah, if you're not familiar with Glee, you might be familiar with the memes that say, I'm going to create an environment that is so blank. And so she is the face of that meme. I think she plays this role really well, of the nurse who is just having a really hard time calming down Emily, and at the same time feeling kind of insulted that Emily is demanding that she do these things. So she did a great job with that. And I think seeing Emily just being so demanding in this episode is really true to her character. So that was really on the nose for her, and how Emily needs to control everything around her in order to feel better, but also to show her love. I mean, that's how you know she cares about Richard, is the fact that she is just needs everything to be perfect in his hospital room, and she makes sure the pillows are
the best quality that they could find, and even the moment when she is telling him, or basically ordering him, to not die, and she almost breaks down in front of him, and I really read that as a sign of love and how much she cares for him, and she shows that by ordering him to keep it together and not die. And I also, speaking of good moments of acting, I really liked how the actress who plays Lorelai, Lauren Graham, she did a really great job when Lorelai is basically very nervous to confront what happened with her father, and she's so nervous she can't even go into the hospital room and see him, basically in a weakened state in his bed. So there's a moment where she's just pacing around and trying to outwardly appear like everything is fine and everything's going to be fine, but at the same time you can see that inside she's really nervous and trying to hold things together inside. And and there's all these people surrounding her. There's Rory, Luke, her mother, and she's trying to compose herself. But I think she did a great job of portraying how that inner turmoil, but while also trying to appear like you have it together on the outside. That really stuck out for me. And then one of the concluding scenes of the episode, we get a resolution between Rory and Lorelai this time. So, you know, earlier we saw Lorelai and Dean talking to each other, and Lorelai saying that she believes him and everything's okay. But now we get a similar situation between Lorelai and Rory. They're by the vending machines in the hospital. They're just getting snacks and coffee, and that's when they finally talk for the first time in a little while. And Lorelai expresses that she completely believes Rory, and she understands that this is just what teenagers do. She just panicked a little bit, and but then ultimately she understands that Rory might not be a perfect person, and things like this happen. And she even says, "You are your mother's daughter," so she understands that if she herself couldn't be perfect, then how can she expect the same from her own daughter when they both make mistakes sometimes? And I really like that moment. And then I think our final scene is between Lorelai and Luke, where she gives him a baseball cap. She makes sure that he wears it backwards, and they end up looking out the window from his diner and just watching the Christmas procession together. And it's a very sweet moment, and that is definitely the kind of resolution to a Gilmore Girls episode that I like to see. It definitely made up for last week, how it felt like it really left me hanging and made me wondering how things are going to be patched up. But definitely this week it feels a lot more tied up in a bow, and I loved watching that. I think before we take a quick break, I did want to say, to be completely honest, I think this was the most boring episode out of them all so far. I would love to know what you all thought. I didn't love the whole like hospital setting, and I think all along I knew that Richard was going to be okay. They definitely weren't going to have him die or anything. I think that would be a little bit too much for only the 10th episode of a season. or of the series. But yeah, I thought overall it was pretty boring. And what else? I also feel like I understand that they wanted to drag out this conflict between Lorelai, Rory, and Emily. They wanted to maybe drag it out a bit longer than just one episode. So I understand why maybe they didn't want to resolve it at the end of the previous episode. But at the same time, I felt kind of like this episode was a bit of a filler where they just needed some kind of excuse to get everyone together and resolve the conflict. But I guess on the bright side, we did see a lot more scenes between Lorelai and Luke, which I always love to see. And we got a little bit more about Lorelai and her relationship with her father, Richard. So if they plan on exploring that more in the series, then this was definitely a nice way of planting the seed there. But other than that, it was not super memorable to me. But with that said, why don't we take a quick break and then let's get into something a lot more fun, where I'll be introducing my two special segments. The first special segment I wanted to announce is called Memorable Moments, where I'm going to be introducing a set of categories that I hope to carry on throughout multiple podcast episodes. But these are categories that I feel reflect what I like to think about when I watch Gilmore Girls episodes and what I'm taking note of, what I remember the most, hence the name Memorable Moments. And I was really inspired by the podcast called The Rewatchables, which if you are curious about it, definitely check it out. It's a very professional podcast, and they are very well established in the podcast world, and they really have got it down, and they have a really great portion of their episodes where they talk about what they love so much about their favorite movies. And for example, they have categories like most rewatchable moment, and that's why that's basically the whole theme of their podcast is their most rewatchable movies, and they just talk about them. And some other categories they have are what else do they have? They have casting what ifs. So in their movies that they talk about, they do a little research on the side about what other actors or actresses were up for the same part and maybe how that would have changed the movie or things like that. And they have a bunch more, but they kind of view these categories as awards. So it's kind of like, what scene wins the most rewatchable scene award? So for me, I decided to do it a little bit differently, something that fit my style a little more. And so for me, I'm doing categories, and I chose categories that are very different from the ones in the Rewatchables podcast, just because I wanted to choose categories that felt true to who I am and what I'm interested in when I watch Gilmore Girls. So why don't we just get right into the first category? So the first category is funniest moment. There were a few funny moments, not too many. I think the in terms of when I laughed out loud, I would say the Santa burger, which is when Luke makes a Santa face out of a burger patty and some ketchup and mayo for the red and white Santa costume. He basically just plops it down on a plate for Lorelai because she had been wanting a festive dinner, I guess, and he didn't have anything, so he just made a face out of a burger, and I thought it was really cute. The other funny moment to me was when Lorelai ate salad out of the bag and she put the dressing in the bag and just shook it all up. I thought that was kind of smart. But also just, it feels very true to her character, because that seems kind of like something a teenager would do, just because you don't want to wash another plate or something. So that was a really funny part. My next category is favorite musical moment. I think Gilmore Girls is known for having a lot of la 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 kind of songs in the background or in between scenes. They use some of that la la music as a transition, but it's really funny because I just somehow came across a video on Instagram of these two girls who were just ranking all of the different La 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 songs that Gilmore Girls uses in their soundtrack, and it really just gave me the realization that there are actually more than one La La song. They have a bunch of different ones that they play throughout the series, so I'll be keeping an ear out for those. But it's kind of funny. And in terms of what musical moment I really liked in this episode, I liked the song that was playing in the background of when Lorelai was ordering pizza and eating salad out of the bag. I looked it up afterward. It's called Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses, and it's definitely one of those classic Christmas songs that you hear in the mall, or I don't know where people really... I'm thinking of where I might have heard it. I probably heard it when I was in the supermarket or something like that, but you've definitely heard it before. So if you look it up, Christmas Wrapping. And most nostalgic moment for me was, I guess it would be Lorelai's graphic shirt. It's the green shirt that says bowling and roller rink on it. And I just found myself kind of staring at that shirt the whole episode because it felt kind of juvenile for someone visiting their sick father in a hospital. It was almost comical just how it was just a bowling shirt with some cute little graphics on it. And I thought it was a cute shirt. I wrote down in my notes that if I saw that shirt in a thrift store, I would definitely have gotten it. But I guess I would say it's nostalgic because I feel like roller rinks don't really exist anymore. I'm sure there are some places that have them, but it definitely feels like a part of a previous era. And then, of course, another nostalgic moment is Lorelai calling a cab. Most people would probably just call Ubers today. It's definitely weird to see that. But also, another thing that I thought was weird, and one of those things where you see it in a TV series and you realize just how much the world has changed since then. It was definitely just the fact that no one was wearing masks in the hospital, and it's just crazy to think how people would just walk around a hospital and not even wear masks. And yeah, that's just really shocking to think about. My next category is my most relatable moment. So speaking of hospitals, I guess I thought it was pretty relatable just to see Luke being kind of uncomfortable in a hospital, and I feel uncomfortable in like doctor's offices or hospitals. I think it's mostly just a mix of nerves, and you don't know what's going to happen and whether people are going to be okay. And so I definitely can share a lot of his anxiety, I guess. And also with Luke, I can relate to the fact that he drives really slow. I always tell my friends, the other day I was driving my friends around, and I was saying that I was just warning them ahead of time. I was saying I drive slower than most people, so just be aware of that. And thankfully, we weren't going somewhere in a rush in the same way that Luke and Lorelai were, but I can definitely see how I can relate to Luke in that moment. My next category is best advice, because I think Gilmore Girls has a lot of those great moments where one person's giving advice to another, and I think that adds to why this show is so comforting for a lot of people, is those moments when you can really count on someone else to help you get through a difficult time. And in this episode, my winner or pick for the best advice was much more lighthearted, so nothing too dramatic, but I really liked what Lane was saying about giving gifts and how when you give someone a gift, it should reflect how you feel about the other person, and it shouldn't reflect anything about you. And I know a lot of times, especially in a very materialistic culture, sometimes people give gifts to others that maybe is just their way of showing off how much money they have, or just trying to impress the other person. And I think for me personally, I love when a gift really comes from the heart, and I think that really goes back to the old idea of holiday gift giving, where, you know, everyone says, I even remember this from an old Charlie Brown special or something, where it always stuck in my mind, where they say Christmas is about giving. And I remember little Sally, Charlie Brown's sister, she says, Christmas isn't about giving, it's about getting. It's about getting all these presents. And that always stuck with me, because as a kid, I thought about that too. I said, well, I love getting presents, but it never occurred to me that actually giving presents to other people could also be a source of joy. And I think ever since then, it made me realize that giving gifts is about what you really like in the other person. And you have to think about everything you like about them, and what you know about them, what you know that they like. And then once that gets you thinking, it'll lead you down the path of the perfect gift for them. And so I really felt like what Lane was saying to Rory about what kind of gift she needs to get for Dean, I really felt like I could relate to what she was saying there. But yeah, speaking about Charlie Brown, did any of you also watch those Charlie Brown holiday specials? I know they had the Halloween one called It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, which is such a classic that will always stay in my mind forever. And I know they had a Thanksgiving one, and then the Christmas one where Sally flubs her line in the Christmas play, and I think she says hockey stick instead of hark when they're talking about the herald angels or something. I'm not religious at all, but I did celebrate Christmas as a kid, and so I guess that's why I watched the Charlie Brown Christmas episode. But I think it was, yeah, it's just such a good episode to watch, and it's really classic. So for some reason, those moments always stuck in my mind. Let's see, my next category is favorite quote. You always have to have a favorite quote. For me, I really appreciated Luke saying to Lorelai in his truck when they were driving to the hospital. He says to her, I can't imagine anyone seeing you as a disappointment. Which is a really nice thing to say just as a friend, but it really just shows how deep their friendship is, because I think he said the right thing in the moment, and
especially with parents like hers, I can imagine her always feeling like she's not good enough just because they have such high expectations for her. And so hearing someone say that you're not a disappointment and you could never be a disappointment is a really special thing. And an honorable mention would be the scene where Emily says to Richard, "You are not going to die." Specifically, she says, "There may be many things happening in this hospital tonight, but your dying is not one of them. In fact, I demand to go first." I love that. And my next and last category is just to go along with the theme of my podcast. The most comforting scene for me was, I think it was the final scene where Luke and Lorelai are just watching the procession from the window in the diner, and it's just a moment between the two of them, but they can also just appreciate the holiday festivities going on, and that's, I think, the closest that we got to a really warm and festive moment this episode. So I really love that. And now I wanted to introduce my second, what did I call them? Special segments. So my second one of those, now that we're done with the memorable moments, is simply fun facts. And I think for me especially, I think a lot about what went into the creation of Gilmore Girls, or each episode, or especially now that the show has been around for a while and it has a huge fan base and a lot of people are still talking about it today. So I thought I would use this fun facts segment as a way to research a little bit about what went on behind the episode and what the actors think about their roles and what they took away from it, and just a little bit more behind the scenes. And I'm going to try to take my fun facts from sources that are not super immediately accessible, just so hopefully there are things that if you are a fan of the series, maybe there are things that you didn't know already and you couldn't just read it from immediately doing a Google search. I'm going to try to get some interesting facts here, and we'll see how that goes. But my first fun fact is just the music in this episode. I'll just tell you what some of these songs are, and these are all Christmas songs, because this was an episode taking place during Christmas time. So we have "Santa Claus is Coming to Town" by Tony Bennett, who I love. I am a huge Tony Bennett fan. I think it's amazing that he's still singing. I think he's 90 years old today. He might even be older than 90, but he's amazing, amazing. And we have "Christmas Wrapping" by The Waitresses, which I talked about earlier. For some reason, a lot of these songs, I maybe didn't quite catch them when I was watching, because there's people talking over it and it's hard to hear the music clearly. But for some reason, this song, "Christmas Wrapping," it really grabbed my attention. And maybe that's just because there wasn't a lot of talking going on at the same time, so you could really hear the music come through. I also heard the song "Do They Know It's Christmas" by Band-Aid, and "Wonderful Christmas Time" by Paul McCartney. That's a great one. "Happy Xmas" by John Lennon and Yoko Ono. And finally, "Thanks for Christmas" by XTC. My next fun fact is... comes from an interview that Lauren Graham did with a writer from Rookie magazine, which, did anyone else read Rookie as a teenager? I'm really curious, because I'm actually really sad that they're not updating the site anymore, but it is basically just an online magazine or a blog, basically, where teenage girls can write their own stories, and you basically submit and you get it approved by their board. I personally, I did submit a few things. They never got approved. This is back when I was maybe 15 or something like that, when the magazine was really, really popular. I think that was probably at its height of popularity, and they accept a whole range of different pieces, whether it's photography or collages, any kind of visual art, or if you want to actually write something, really anything, as long as it has to do with your experience of being a teenage girl. I think that's their whole theme. And if they believe that it was good enough or fit their theme for that month, then they would accept you and you would have your post be published on their site. And I don't know the exact numbers, but it was really, really popular at the time. And so I'm curious if any of you also read it. And yeah, well, basically, so I found an interview with Lauren Graham, and she sat down with one of the girls who, I guess, wrote for Rookie magazine. And one thing that I always loved about Rookie was that they, even though it was a site for teenage girls just to navigate growing up, they also had a lot of interviews and articles written by older women who have been through that and who survived that. And so it's always cool to see their perspective and hear their advice for girls just going through high school and difficult times in life. And so this is a good example of that, where Lauren Graham just talked about her experience with playing the character Lorelai on Gilmore Girls, which was a really beloved series for the particular author who was interviewing her. And she actually said a lot of really interesting things, and I love hearing her experience from her own words. And I'll just summarize what I learned. Basically, she said that as an actress, she originally was warned against playing a mother as a character. In the interview, she didn't really say why, but I assume it's because maybe once you play a mother, you can't really get out of that role when you're looking for new opportunities, and everyone just sees you as fitting a mother's role. And that you would just have those kinds of roles for the rest of your career. And she didn't listen to that advice. She took the role anyway, and I think that's really just a testament to how well written it was and how unique she thought it was. And so I think it's really amazing to see how she just took that role fearlessly and made such an iconic character out of it. And I think Lorelai is far from perfect, and I think it's fair to say that I think a lot of Gilmore Girls fans actually don't like Lorelai, despite still loving the show overall. So I think it's pretty cool to see how she's able to portray a character that is really deeply flawed and to the point where people sometimes really don't like her as a character, but she still pulls it off really well. And she also says that she really appreciated how Lorelai always looked at things with positivity and really looked for the fun in every situation. And I totally agree with that character description. I think I always say this, that she seems like a kid at heart, and she really gets along with Rory, who is a teenager, for that reason. And Lauren Graham also said that she loved how the show didn't always shove it in your face that Lorelai is a single mother, and they just treat it like that's just part of her identity, and it's not something to make a big deal about, because in real life, I think that's how it would be as well. It's that's just her life, and we're just seeing it through her eyes and seeing it through Rory's eyes, and that's just the way their relationship and family is. And I think that makes it feel a lot more real. And I like seeing that kind of relationship on the screen. And my final fun fact is also from that same interview. It's very interesting that she says that she based her portrayal of Lorelai actually on her relationship with her dad growing up. And basically she had a stepmom, and she mentioned that, I guess, in the time before her stepmom came into her life, it was just her and her dad. And so it sounds like they were really close, and they did a lot of things that two friends would do, basically. They went to concerts together, they had dinner together a lot, and they went on road trips, just the two of them, which sounds a lot like things that Lorelai and Rory do, the two of them. So I like how Lorelai was, I like how the character of Lorelai was based on a relationship between father and daughter, and how it's cool to see how a mother and daughter can have a relationship like Lorelai and Rory, but also how a father and daughter can have a similar relationship, and how it's not just restrictive to mothers and daughters. So I really like that. That was really interesting to actually see how that was based on her real life, and how she was able to take her own experiences and turn it into something with her character. So that's pretty much it for this episode. I just wanted to leave you, as always, with the title for next week's episode, or whenever the next episode comes out. It might actually be in 2 weeks, and I'll let you know, as always, on my Instagram when it's coming out. But the title is Paris is Burning, so we can only assume it has to do with Paris. And I've been saying this for the past few episodes, but I've always been more curious about Paris and wanting to know more about where she's coming from, why she's so angry, why is she burning? So I'm looking forward to that, and I hope you are too. And I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and definitely feel free to message me on Instagram or follow me there, and we'll stay in touch until then, and see you.